We are grateful that God has lengthened out the prickly threads of our lives and have allowed our golden moments to roll on just a little while longer. And for that, we ought to be eternally grateful. It's certainly good to look upon your faces and to greet you with Jesus' joy on this beautiful Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ain't nobody mad or sad this morning but the devil. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. So when the Lord's Day come, I'm like John, I'm like David, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, and I try to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So I don't have to get ready to preach. I've been waiting all week long to be in the preaching place. So I'm going to have church if I have to have it by myself, you know. Yeah, you know, the last time I checked, it said two or three. I think we got more than two or three, so I'm one. And if I can get you and another, we'll have some church. All right, God bless you. We're going to be looking at Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and verse number 11, and we thank our brethren for lifting us up in prayer and the passionate reading of the Word of God. Psalms 27. And I'm going to be teaching from the King James translation. There is a word in the book of Psalms, Psalms number 27. And I read for you at verse number 11. You will find these words recorded. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me. And as such, as breath out cruelty, I had fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of, what is the word? Be of good courage. And he shall do what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would for a few moments this morning like to lift up as a topic from which to teach. When the faithful feel like fainting. When the faithful feel like fainting. Is our tag for this text at this time. Life is a trip. And sometimes it will trip you up or trip you out. that's the vernacular of our young folk. Life is a trip. Those of us who may be a little older than 40 would say life is a journey. But the young folk might be onto something. Life is a trip. And sometimes it will trip you up or trip you out. David illustrates that in the text before us. He makes a bold and audacious statement that should challenge the thinking of the faithful followers of a great God. He said there was so much confusion. There was so much frustration, so much aggravation going on around him that he would have fainted. He would have given up. He would have quit if he had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He says, in essence, I know what it's like to walk with pitiful loneliness on the highway of despair, only to arrive at the house of disappointment. I know what it's like to sit in the chair of unexplainable problems while being rocked by the hand of broken promises. David says, if you are in such a place, I too know what it's like to sit at the table of helpless struggle. And drink from the bitter cup of dejection. I know what it's like to have to face frustration. I know what it's like to go to bed at night only to sleep on the pillow of blasted memories and bankrupt dreams. David says, I would have fainted. I've had so much stuff going on around me. I've had so many things happen to me. I've had so many things aimed at me that cause deep pain in my life. And I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. That should have caught your attention. David said, the only reason I didn't quit is that I believed to see. The only reason you're not jumping up shouting with me, obviously, you're not seeing what he said. See, normally we say believing is seeing. I won't believe it until I see it. David says, no, you believe so you can see. He said, those of us who are faithful believers in God, we are not like regular people. We don't look at life and say, oh, I respond to life based on what I see. We don't walk by sight. We walk by what? Faith. By faith. He said, if I walk by the eyes of faith, I see things
that I can't see with my naked eye. Things may be looking like they falling apart. It may look like hell is broken loose. It may look like there is no way out. But he says, when you believe in God, you see things that regular folk can't see. He said, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. There are some things you will never ever see unless you believe. I say life is a trip. And sometimes it will trip you up and trip you out. The only reason you're still standing, the only reason you're here, if you live 40 years on planet Earth, the only reason you're still here is that you had to go through some stuff. And all I'm trying to tell you is that you have already survived the darkest night of your life. Say that again, brother minister. Somebody didn't get it. I said, you are still here. I said, you are still here. You are alive. You are breathing. You are sitting here celebrating this morning because you have already survived the darkest night of your life. So if the Lord and your faith got you through that, what makes you think you won't get through today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord anyhow. So David says, I want to teach you about this fainting business. So there are three tremendous truths, and there is so much material in this text. There are three tremendous truths that I'm going to attempt to teach today. We can't get all of it in the sermon this morning, so you'll have to come back tonight to get part two. But if you're about to faint, you can't afford not to be here. If you're about to quit, if the devil is whispering in your ear that there is no reason to go on, that this is it, if anybody need to be back, you need to be back if you don't normally come back on Sunday night. So this text is tailored to teach us three tremendous truths about fainting. And I'm only going to be able to deal with one of them, introduce the second one. I want to talk about a problem to be examined. This fainting business, this quitting thing, is a problem. And I need to help you understand it's nothing but the devil. This is about spiritual warfare. So we'll spend our time for this morning on a problem to be examined. And then I'm going to introduce you and conclude with a power to be experienced. Yeah. You don't have to faint. The Lord provides you a power to keep on going. And then we'll spend more time tonight dealing with the promise to be enjoyed. Let's look at the problem to be examined. In this study, we're going to look at fainting by definition and by demonstration. When we talk about fainting is a term that we are fairly familiar with. To faint means to be without strength. To faint means to fail in strength and vigor. To faint means to be weak. It means to be fragile. It means to be feeble. And the reason some folk drop out and some folk quit when trouble comes in their lives, and some folk drop out and some folk quit when trouble come into the church, and you should have been in Bible school this morning as we talked about when congregations turn problems into projects. Yeah, we need to talk about how congregation turn problems into projects, and we'll finish that next Sunday morning or But the thing that we left away with is that you ought to expect problems. Yeah, you can't live on planet Earth without having some problems. Because if you live on problem on planet Earth, you ought to expect some problems, because you're going to have to deal with some people unless you live by yourself and don't deal with anybody but yourself. And you're still going to have some problems with yourself. Yeah, see, most of our problems are people problems. So you're not going to grow. You're not going to move to the next level of your spiritual life and growth if you don't learn how to deal with problems and problem people. So you have to expect problems. It's naive for you to try to raise your children and try to shield them from problems, because they will not be able to survive in the world, because they're going to have to deal with people and problems. But you have to welcome problems. You shouldn't just expect problems. You ought to welcome them. Problems are not an enemy. Problems are a friend, because when you have a problem, it only means that your problem reveals something that needs to be fixed. So the problem doesn't go away because you want to ignore it. As I heard one brother say the other day, you can walk around with an ostrich complex and syndrome if you want to, have your head in the sand, but if you have your head in the sand, you got another part of you sticking up in the air, and that's what the devil attacks. So just ignoring problems not gonna cause them to go away. So not only must you expect problems, you have to welcome problems. But the point of the Bible study lesson, I'm having to reteach Bible study because you won't come to Bible study. That's why your faith is so weak. You have to solve problems. You don't just face problems. You gotta learn how to solve problems. So to faint means to be dizzy, as if you are about to pass out on the road of life. And if you keep getting up in the morning, if you are a man or a woman and you keep getting up in the morning, you are going to have some trouble. Didn't Job say that a man that is born of a woman is a few days, and those few days are what? Full of what? You're a little weak on me. Act like you don't know what trouble is. Life is filled with trouble. And when you don't expect trouble, when you don't welcome trouble, and when you don't know how to trouble trouble by facing and solving problems, you will want to quit. I've been a minister in the body of Christ for 50 years. I've been a psychologist for over 40. And as a psychologist who happened to be a minister, or a minister who happened to be a psychologist, I deal with people every year who attempt to commit suicide. And suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And you know why they attempt to take their life? Is that they feel like they are hopeless. But brother man, sister girl, as long as you are alive, there is hope. If you can just hang on, if you can just hold on, wait a minute now. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, if you just hold on to the morning, joy cometh in the morning. Our foreparents didn't know a whole lot about psychology and systematic theology, but they had enough sense to be able to sing, I'm so glad. Trouble don't last how long? It don't last always. So fainting, by definition, means to be dizzy, as if you are about to pass out on the road of life. You want to give up. You want to quit. And when problems arise in a congregation, you need to remember it's the work of the devil. And it's designed to get you to be so weak in your faith that you want to give up and do what? Quit or faint. And the Lord sent me all the way from Dallas, Texas to preach this sermon. It's too soon to quit. If we ever needed you to stand strong for the Lord, you need to be doing it in 2017. This is a mean world we live in. And the Lord needs people who will stand up for what is right. We don't need folk on the sideline falling out, fainting. No, we need folk who can encourage other folk. Honey, keep on keeping on. It's going to get better because the Lord is still on the throne. Unless you got a problem. Unless you got a problem that's bigger than getting Jesus up out of the grave after he's been dead 3 days. Now, if you got a problem bigger than that, maybe we're in trouble. But honey, I don't think you got anything you gonna face that's bigger than getting Jesus up out of the. If the Lord can resurrect the dead, certainly he can encourage the living. Oh my God, I think I just said something. Say that again, brother minister. If the Lord can resurrect the dead, surely he can strengthen the living. So in the Christian life, it's important that you understand. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. Let me whisper some sober words to your soul. Fainting is first an attitude before it's an act. Now, I just gave you some tweet material. Don't be hard-headed. Go on and write it down. Fainting or quitting or giving up is first an attitude before it's an act. That's why I'm trying to challenge you to have an attitude adjustment. You are a twice born believer. That's a part of the kingdom of God. And if God is for you, Christ is with you, goodness and mercy behind you, why should you give up and quit about what's going on around you? If you are that weak, you've got an attitude problem. I don't mean no harm. I don't mean to aggravate you. The young folk told me, keep it real. Say, doc, you look the same, except you got gray hair. Do you still keep it real? Well, I'm trying to show them I keep it real. You got an attitude problem. You may not be able to change how things look,
But you can change how you look at things.
You in there, Doc? I love my God. You going to mess around and preach. You going to help somebody. Yeah, you don't have control always over how things look. You can't change how things look, but you can change how you look at things. All you need is an attitude adjustment. Look what you get for free for coming to church at Ferguson Heights on a Sunday morning. People pay $160, $300 an hour for what you just got for free because you showed up for church this morning. Look at what you miss when you don't come to the house of the Lord.
Oh, I know. My doc said, the only thing about your preaching is, you know, you do all that psychologist stuff. And, well, if you come to counseling, we wouldn't have to have counseling in church.
I'm trying to help you. So if the only way I can get you is in church, I better take advantage of it.
So the major reason a person feels like fainting is that he has no more strength to fight with. Something has worn you down, sapped you of your strength. Brother Minister, I don't know who you've been talking. I don't know who you've been talking to, but you've already pulled up in my driveway and came into my house night and he asked you to come in, but here you are sitting on my couch. All in my stuff. I'm about to faint. And I haven't figured out why. So if you'll give me a few more minutes, I'm going to show you why you have no strength. David says, the major reason why we feel like fainting is because we have no more strength. And the reason you are tired is you're tired of working. And you're tired of fighting. And you're tired of believing. The work is a fight. And the fight is work. And work is a bad word for most folk. We don't want to fight to believe. We don't want to fight to work. And we certainly don't want to fight to grow. We grow tired of believing because it takes work. It takes energy. It takes strength to believe because the devil is trying to take your faith by force. This is about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a war about faith. The Lord has already told you, without faith, have you checked out Hebrews 11:6 lately? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everyone that cometh unto him must believe that he is. That's where we normally start. There's a comma there. He said, you must believe that he is. See, you have to believe to see. You have to believe that God is. And you have to believe that he is a rewarder. Oh my God, that's what gets me up every morning. God rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who work for him. God rewards those who seek him. And so before I take my seat, let me help you understand what causes you to faint. Sometimes the circumstances of life cause us to faint. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives cause us to faint. Much of the problems, the trouble in our lives grow out of our circumstances. And God has set in motion certain natural laws. Society around us generates certain moods. Heredity has endowed us with certain traits. And all of these natural laws above us, and all of these moods around us, and all of these traits within us sometimes converge upon each other. And it saps our strength. But if we don't look at the circumstances of our lives as our enemy, we have to look at them as our friend. Because things happen to you in the midst of going through what you go through. Come a little closer. Let me whisper some sober words to your soul. God does not expect you to just go through what you go through. He wants you to grow through what you go through. If you don't grow through what you go through, you're just going through what you go through. And if you're going to go through stuff, you ought to at least be better for it. Hello? See, you got that look like, Doc, you're trying to be too deep. Okay. All right. Let me illustrate it this way. Hi. You know, in my 40 year or so ministry, I do a lot of traveling on airplanes. And since 9/11, those of us who travel often to make a living, we've had to make some major adjustments to how we can travel, what we carry on board. So you know now, if you're going to carry items on board, they've limited you to what you can carry. You know, it used to be you can carry deodorant and your perfumes and your colognes and your lotions and all of that, and you go to Walmart or Costco or Sam's and you get economy packages because, you see, those big bottles of things are cheaper. But when you're traveling, big ain't popular no more. They make you travel in such small quantities, they give you a little clear plastic bag, and you got to put all your stuff in that one little bag. So now you have to have travel size toothpaste and travel size deodorant and travel size cologne. And that stuff don't last long. So I was out a few weeks ago. I was out in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was there just for a couple of days doing some leadership development, and I was leaving Omaha, Nebraska to go out to Rogersville, Alabama. And so the brother picked me up from the airport and took me to the hotel, and I had enough time to freshen up, to be picked up again, to get to church, and I decided I needed to try to brush my teeth because I had to deal with you people. You know how y'all can be if the brother's breath ain't too fresh, so I had to try to brush my teeth and, you know, take care of that personal hygiene thing. And I discovered that my toothpaste had just about come to an end. Well, you know, I'm staying in a nice hotel, so I call the front desk because, you know, I'm a spa member, that I'm supposed to get all these extra amenities because I'm in the hotel so often, you know. So they do all this upsizing with your room. You pay for an economy room, and they give you a suite. You know, that's, you know. Now, don't hate. Just
pray that you can eventually participate. If you travel three, four days out of every week, you could belong to a travel club too. So I know I have the right for them to give me some free toothpaste. So I called down the hotel and I said, you know, they said, Dr. Lane said, you know, we'd be glad to bring you up some toothpaste, but unfortunately, it'd be about 15 minutes before we can get it to you. But I didn't have 15 minutes. Brother's on his way to pick me up. And so here I am in a partial crisis. I got toothpaste that won't work. Just about out. So, you know, I realized that I'm in desperation. So I did what my mother and grandmother taught me to do. It's called creative make do in desperation. So, you know what I did? I did what my grandma and him taught me how to do. I took that little toothpaste and I start rolling it from the bottom. I squeeze and I roll. I roll and I squeeze. And look like the more I roll and I squeeze, toothpaste start coming out. And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, there's a sermon in that toothpaste, because the toothpaste, if it was like you and I, would think the squeezing and the rolling was an attack. But I wasn't attacking the toothpaste. I just realized there was something in it that I wanted to get out of it. Oh, there's a tube that has something in it, and I can't get out of it what's in it unless I put a squeeze on it. Every once in a while, God says there is a seed of greatness. There is a seed of faith in you, and I can't get it out of you until I put a squeeze on you. So the circumstances that you go through is not your enemy. God is just trying to help you grow through what you go through. Because if you don't grow through what you go through, you're just going through what you go through. God puts a squeeze on you to get out of you something. The circumstances of life are designed to help you grow. God presses us and God puts a squeeze on us sometimes by sending valleys for us to tread, by sending mountains for us to climb, for sending rivers to cross and battles to fight and burdens to bear and tears to shed. Sometimes God has to send failures to experience and mistakes and misdeeds and misunderstandings and miscalculations to try us. God presses us and put a squeeze on us because he's trying to perfect us. But you have to believe. Oh, this is where your faith comes in. You have to believe that if God brings me to it, he will bring me through it. Oh my God, that's somebody's word. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you came here for. But if you think I'm talking to you this morning, if you think that I'm talking to you, if that sounds like it might be you, you ought to be able to give God some praise. You ought to be able to say amen, hallelujah. You ought to be able to borrow a praise. You ought to be able to rent a hand clap. You ought to make the devil mad and God glad and say, I praise God that I went through what I went through, because I'm better now. I'm stronger now. I'm able to deal with more now because God put a squeeze on me. Don't waste the squeeze. Oh my God. I said, don't waste the squeeze. Learn something from it. Get closer to God. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives cause us to faint. Sometimes the companions of our lives cause us to faint. See, sometimes the reason you're weak is you hang around with too many weak folk. I mean, I didn't make this up. The Lord said evil communication corrupt good morals. See, some of the trouble that you have in your life comes from all of those negative, critical people you run around with. See, negative people are whiners. Negative people are complainers. Negative people are murmurers. We had a good time with that in Bible class this morning. Negative people are people who were born in the objective case and the kickative mood. The only exercise negative people get is running down people and jumping to conclusions. Does that sound like somebody you know? Negative people are not just whiners and complainers and murmurers, but negative people are health destroyers and joy stealers. Amen for the joy stealing. I mean, there are some folk that are so negative that they could literally just light up a room by leaving. I mean, they come into a room and they just suck up all the life. You hate to see them coming because you know the only thing they can say is what's wrong. Something wrong with everybody, something wrong with it. And please don't ever ask them how they're doing because they'll take all day and tell you. Now, how do you expect to have strength? How do you expect to keep going when all you surround yourself with are negative people taking your positive energy away from you? So sometimes the circumstances of life in our lives cause us to faint. Sometimes the companions of our lives cause us to faint. And sometimes the choices of our lives cause us to faint. We make our choices, and our choices turn around and make us. That's some good tweet material now. You and I are the sum total of our choices. If you're going to help your children mature, if you're going to help your children grow up, if you're going to help your children deal with the contrary vicissitudes of life, you got to be better at teaching them how to make better decisions. We need to have more Bible classes. We need to have more study on making good decisions. Because we make our choices, and our choices turn around and make us. You can make a decision at 20 that will haunt you and follow you for the rest of your life. You can repent of it. You can say, I'm sorry. You can get up and get forgiveness for it. But you can drive a nail in a board, but you can't remove the scar. You can pull the nail out, But the nail is still going to do what? Leave a scar. You can make a bad decision at 20 that can haunt you for the next 40 years. That's why. I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. And I'm sure not looking for a church. I'm retired. If I wanted a church, I'd have stayed here in St. Louis with the church. So I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to remind you there is a reason why you are giving up, fainting, and don't have any strength.
So sometimes the circumstances of our lives cause us to faint. Sometimes the companions of our lives cause us to faint. And sometimes the choices of our lives call us to faint. But when you look at the text, and that's fainting by demonstration, he says, I would have given up, I would have quit, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, but I waited on the Lord. And if you wait on the Lord, he will strengthen your heart. No matter how bad things are, no matter how difficult your situations are, he says you can go on. And the psalmist asked the question that a lot of people ask every once in a while. He answers it in Psalms 71:16. He answers it right here in this text. How can I go on? My strength is weak. My faith is weak. I feel like quitting. I want to give up. How can I go on? And I'm so glad you asked. That's why I like talking to you. You asked such good question. He said, you go on in the strength of the Lord. Oh, my God. That was your shouting point. I will go on in the strength of the Lord. Because life may be difficult, but it's not too difficult for him. Somebody need to hear that. Life may be difficult for you. In fact, it may be too difficult for you. But I've come to remind you, it's not too difficult for the Lord. And if you live long enough, you're going to find yourself confronted by some circumstances where no lawyer or judge can fix it for you. Where no doctor or teacher can fix it for you. Where no family member or friend can fix it for you. Where no counselor or therapist can fix it for you. You're going to face some situations in your life where no financial advisor or job supervisor can fix it for you. No clothes designer or car manufacturer can fix it for you. You're going to face some stuff in this life that Mama Lucy and Madam Flo can't fix for you. If you live long enough, you're going to need somebody that can fix it for you. When you get to the end of yourself and you can't do anything for yourself, you need a power that's bigger than yourself. That's why the Holy Spirit will come and say, it's too soon to quit. I know it's tough. I know it's not fair. I know you deserve better, but this is no time to faint. This is no time to wave the white flag of surrender, because quitting is not the answer you're searching for. Fainting is not the solution to your problems. The direction you need is not going to be. The position you want to take is not quitting. When things go wrong, as sometime they will, it's no time to quit. You need to call
on the Lord. I like what David said. I will wait on the Lord, because this is not my first rodeo. This is not my first battle with the devil, the world, and the flesh. I got through some bad situation. I remember as a little boy, I faced a little lion, and the lion died because the Lord was with me. But then I had a battle with a bear. Now that I'm facing Goliath, I don't worry about Goliath. I know you talking about Goliath is too big to fight. You just a little shepherd boy. David says, it's not how things look, it's how you look at things. I know you say Goliath is too big for me to fight, but when you believe to see, you say Goliath is too big for me to miss. I'm gonna go fight in the strength of the Lord. And Goliath fought his last battle because I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He fought his last battle because I waited on the Lord and he strengthened me. How can I go on, you ask? I have to go on in the strength of the Lord. Thank God for strength. I say thank God for strength. Thank God that God is with us. Thank God that Jesus is for us. Thank God the Holy Spirit is in us. Thank God goodness and mercy is behind us. And I don't have to worry about giving in to the devil. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us. I say if God is for us. The old folk used to say he's more than all the world against us. I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord blesses those who bless him. The Lord blesses those who bless him. The Lord praises those who praise him. And the Lord promotes those who promote him. Stand on your feet. We're going to sing this invitation in just a moment. We're going to have prayer before we sing, and we're going to ask for the presence of the Lord to bless the words that he's given to us this morning so that we can activate it in our lives. Father God, how we praise and how we magnify your name as we give you thanks for the powerful presence in this place. We thank you for the message that you've prepared for us, and may every one of us receive this message as unto ourselves. And when the circumstances of life, when the choices of life and the companions of life take our strength, that we come on our knees and bow prostrate before you and ask for traveling strength, that we not give up and let the devil win. And somebody who came in here this morning ready to quit, ready to give up the fight, strengthen them. Somebody came in here this morning and they cannot call you Father because they never obeyed the gospel. So we're praying that they will hear the facts of the gospel, that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And they believe those facts and be willing to obey the commands. That they repent of their sins, Acts 17:30, that they confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and that they'll go down in water for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38. And they can rise to walk in the newness of life. May the powerful, penetrating presence of your Holy Spirit touch every life under the sound of my voice. And wherever this CD winds up, wherever this audio recording winds up,
Let your spirit minister to the person who will hear your message. And when the faithful feel like fainting, if they'll just wait on you, you'll give them strength. We feel liberation in this place. We feel deliverance in this place. We feel bondage breaking in this place. Lives are being changed. Faith is being strengthened because we are depending on you. So we thank you. We celebrate what you're going to do with this message and how we're going to apply it to our lives to give you glory and to give you honor. So in Jesus' name, let all of those who receive this message say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We sing the invitation. This is the part of the service that we call the invitation. This is where you get a chance to respond to the message. I get out of the way and let you do business with God. You can now come and make your call and election sure. If you come down front, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to place membership, if you need to repent of your sins, we give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. Don't say no to him who said yes to the cross. Come to Jesus.